now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to another episode of the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everything going out there for everybody? Yeah, it's going all right for me, man. I mean, your boy being out in these streets, being out in this rain a little bit, you know, came down with a little summer cold, you know, just a little congested. A couple sneezes, a cough here and there. It's crazy because you be out in these streets and you sneeze or you cough and people look at you like you got the plague. But have no fear. I have taken the COVID test and I am clear. Didn't mean to make that rhyme. But hey, you know how it goes. Yeah, took a COVID test. I'm in the clear. I'm good. Just a little summer head cold. Like I said, the weather's changing a little bit. It's raining one day, then it's super hot. It's got me a little congested. But we must carry on. Want to send a big shout out to my sponsors at 323_custom_apparel. Check them out. Go to their Instagram, go to their Facebook page, and get everything that you need to make yourself stand out above the crowd, beyond the crowd, to make your fresher than the rest. Go check out my folks at 323 Custom Apparel. That's 323_custom_apparel. Make your clothing your statement. I also want to holler at my people over at Greenwood Whiskey, man. Greenwood Whiskey is some of the best stuff out right now. I don't know if you out and you go into these cookouts and you and everybody's got a new drink. It seems like everybody's got a new seltzer or beer or a new all kind of drink. I think a couple other celebrities have new drinks. Everybody has a drink. But when you show up and you show up with that Greenwood Whiskey, you show out. Because Greenwood Whiskey is quality celebration whiskey. It's black owned. And when people drink it, it's smooth. It's great. And they're always going to ask you where you got it from. And all you got to do is direct them to their local liquor store or wherever beverages are sold and tell them to look for Greenwood Whiskey. Also, you can go to the website at www.greenwoodwhiskey.com. Greenwood Whiskey is celebration whiskey. Celebrate with Greenwood Whiskey. Pull up to the cookout with celebration whiskey. Greenwood Whiskey. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff for us to talk about today. You know, today is Thursday. Once again, I moved stuff over to Thursday. We got the finals. The NBA finals have concluded. We'll talk about that and get into all the different things about that. I was wrong. I didn't have the Milwaukee Bucks winning. I'll have Reese hit that sounder a little later on. Also, got a couple topics in the NHL. I know you guys don't expect me to talk about the NHL. I'll hit on a couple topics in the NHL. One being, they have a new expansion team, the Seattle Kraken. Yeah, they got a Seattle has expand is out in the NHL. Also, the NHL has an open gay player. They have their first openly gay player, and we'll talk about that. We'll touch on the Olympics. There's a lot of stories breaking. The Olympics has just started up. There's a couple things going on with COVID, with athletic mothers. We got a lot of stuff going on in the Olympics. We'll touch on that also. Also, Texas and Oklahoma are reportedly eyeing the SEC. They're interested in moving from the Big 12 to the SEC. I'll give you my opinion in that. Also, we'll talk about just a quick touch on a lesson in respect. A lesson in respect. The SWAC had their media day. You know, all these college football media days going on. No different. The SWAC had their media day. And Dion had a little tit for tat with a couple reporters. And we'll touch on that also. So, without any further ado, let's play ball.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, hey, before we get into anything, like, on Bleacher Report. I don't know if you've seen this. Go to Bleacher Report. And it's Team USA. It's KD. It's Bam Adebayo. It's Dame Lillard. It's a bunch. It's a couple guys. They all just shoot. You know how you at the court, whether, you know, you're in the backyard, you're at LA Fitness, whatever. You're at the court, and everybody's just shooting around. The game hasn't started yet. Everybody's just shooting around, kind of warming up. KD hits a corner three. And apparently, Bam Adebayo picks up his ball. And typically, when you hit the shot, right, basketball etiquette, Hooper's etiquette, is you get to change. Bring it back. Bam picks up the ball and proceeds to dribble and dribble his way out to the three-point line. And KD's walking, you know, toward the goal, and he's looking like, yo, bruh, I made the shot. And Bam is like, nah, that ain't, you know, it wasn't my, that wasn't this ball, whatever, whatever. And they went back and forth, and it's just funny to see the exchange, that the stuff that you do and started as kids, how it doesn't end. Like, these are professional grown-ass dudes, and the games that you play at 8, 9 years old, just warming up for the basketball game in the rec center, still carries over. The rules still carry over to this day. And it even carried over to Twitter, where they're tweeting each other. Like, KD's talking about, yo, dog knew, he saw my ball go in, he knew that was my ball. Bam Adebayo was tweeting back like, bruh, I didn't pick up your ball, because there was a couple people that was shooting. And Bam is texting back like, I didn't pick up your ball, dog. Like, Dame Lillard picked up your ball, but you don't want to say nothing to Dame, so you're going to try to little bro me. And when he said that, it made me go back and look at the video. And maybe he has a point. Maybe Dame Lillard does pick up KD's basketball. But it's hard to say because, one, the camera angle, and two, there's like 3 or 4 people shooting. So you've been in that scenario. Everybody's shooting around. It's just a shoot around. And I hit a shot. You hit a shot. He misses a shot. He misses a shot. It's hard to tell what ball is which. Which ball was mine, if they're all the same basketball. And they get into that too. Like, KD's like, nah, that's a girl ball. You just gave me a girl ball. I was shooting with the regular size, you know, regular basketball. And they're going back and forth. So it's just funny. If you hadn't checked it out, go check it out. It's just humorous to me to see that some of the same things that you do at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old at the rec center still carries over to these dudes, Team USA, NBA All-Stars. It doesn't change. Basketball is basketball, and I love to see that. So I was when you get a chance, just like I said, I think it's on Bleacher Report. Go check it out on Bleacher Report.
Commissioner Gordon.
All right, man, let's get into it. Like, the NBA Finals just happened. The Milwaukee Bucks, congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks. They won in 6, and it's funny because the crowd had been chanting Bucks in 6 since Game 3, and I was like, man, get the hell out of here. Like, stop. You actually believe that you're going to run off 4 straight on Chris Paul? You're going to run off 4 straight on Devin Booker? You're going to run off 4 straight on Monty Williams? You're going to run off 4 straight on Aiden? Get the hell out of here. And they did. They ran off 4 straight. But look, all I got to say, Reese Boogie, go ahead and hit the music, dog. I told y'all, my bad. It's time for... My bad, man. I told y'all we went back, you know, we were going back and forth. I didn't think that, one, A, I picked the Phoenix Suns to win. So my bad in that. I picked the Phoenix Suns for a variety of reasons. And not because of the reasons that a lot of people are out here talking about, oh, Chris Paul deserves a ring. I'm not in that boat. You get what you deserve. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in the boat of he's been 16 years or however many years in the league. He's 36 years old. He deserves a win. He's a great point guard. All of the above. But what you deserve is the contract you negotiate. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe that anybody is more deserving of any championship or an award because it's a lifetime achievement award. It's not that. So I don't believe that he's more deserving than Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't believe so. And I didn't believe so then. Like, you, like I said, you deserve your contract. That's what you deserve. And then after that, beyond that, you know, you eat what you kill. So if you want the championship, you want to prove that you're deserving of the championship, go out and show it on the basketball court. So in that frame, I tip my hat to Giannis, because Giannis was out here killing shit. Like, he legit had an all-time NBA Finals performance in that game. Like, Chris Paul and Book, yeah, they were playing like they wanted to win. You know, they were out here and they were trying to win, and they were showing that they wanted to win the championship. But Giannis Antetokounmpo did everything in his power to determine his victory. He did everything in his power to control the game. He needed to win. There's a difference between wants and needs. We've talked about that before. You can want to win, you can need to win. And typically that person that needs to win is hungrier. He's scrappier. He's going to do whatever it takes to get that victory. I thought it would be Chris Paul, because if you know Chris Paul, when times get tough, when his back is against the wall, when everything seems to be going against his will, he gets desperate. And sometimes that results into some dirty play. But that's Chris Paul needing to win. And I didn't see that need in these finals. I saw acceptance, which I was shocked to see. I saw acceptance of, I'm going to try to impose my will, but I can't do what I want to do. So I'm just going to accept the fact that maybe it's not our turn. It's not our year. I'm going to try. I'm going to fight. I'm going to scrap. He didn't quit by any means, but he didn't show that desperation that I was used to seeing from Chris Paul, that I was used to seeing from CP3. I've watched CP3 trip guys. I've watched CP3 hit guys in the nuts. I've watched CP3 try to fool the referee, to try to get the referees on his side, to make them think that he should be getting more calls. I didn't see that guy in this finals. Game one was the pretty much the game where I saw Chris Paul actually be the point guard that everybody's calling him to be. Beyond that, he was a good basketball player. And that was it. He was a good basketball player. In the finals, I wouldn't say he played great. He was good. But Giannis played great. And I kind of expected Giannis to have a good game. I did not expect him to go 17 from 19 from the free throw line. I did not expect him to get 50 points. I did expect him to get 14, 15 rebounds. I did expect that from him. But I didn't, the 50 points, the free throw shooting, I didn't expect those things. The efficiency, I didn't expect it. And that again comes to my bad again, because I told you guys that I did not think that Coach Budenholzer would make the adjustments. And offensively, he made that adjustment to where we're not just standing around solely dependent on Giannis. Giannis is great when he's in motion and when he only has to have one to two dribbles, make the shot, one or two dribbles, make the pass, and then keep moving around. And that was the adjustment. It wasn't Giannis, dribble the ball, we're going to use you as you are a point forward, or we're going to use you like you're LeBron James. It wasn't that. It wasn't Giannis, shoot a lot of threes. It wasn't Giannis, shoot a lot of jumpers. It was Giannis, we're going to put you in position to where you're making shots or you're taking shots around the basket. And that got him comfortable. I think that got him comfortable when he sees the ball going in the basket. It's going around the basket. And it gets his confidence up when he gets to the free throw line. So now it doesn't matter. The audience can count by five if they want to. You know, 5, 10, 15, 20. They can count by five if they want to. It doesn't matter, because he's in rhythm. He goes through his routine and he hits his free throws. Also, I was wrong, because Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday were consistent. And that was my biggest gripe about those two guys. They hadn't been consistent. Chris Middleton is a hell of a player when you see him and he goes out and he scores 25 points and everybody's like, oh, damn, Chris Middleton's dope. But then he would have those games where he would have 10, 12, 13 points. And then he'd come back, he'd have a game where he'd have 30, 32 points. And then people would say Chris Middleton is dope, but then he'd go back to the hole. It was too roller coaster for me. It was too much up and down. And I couldn't depend on it. So I couldn't sit here and tell you without a doubt that he would be clutch in the NBA Finals because he hadn't been consistent. He hadn't been consistent all year. Like I was telling people a long time ago about Chris Middleton, and I thought he was a hell of a player, but that's what happened. That's probably what soured me, because I was telling people a long time ago about Chris Middleton, and then it was like he fell off. So when people were coming back, like, yeah, your boy, he had 13. You've been telling me how dope this dude is. He had 12, you know. And so I think that's what soured me. But then he would come back, he would have 27, and then he'd have 32, or he'd have 35. He'd have those games. But there'd be too many of those others in between. And Drew Holiday, man, I don't know. Once again, I won't say that it wasn't a Coach Bud decision. I won't say that it was a Coach Bud decision. But whoever made the decision for Drew Holiday to guard Chris Paul and body Chris Paul and give him hell all series, well, after game one or two, after game two, whoever made that choice, congratulations to you. And I'll give it to Coach Bud because he's the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. And whether it was one of those instances where Drew Holiday was like, man, damn that, I'm taking Chris Paul the rest of the series. Man, we ain't switching. We ain't doing none of that stuff. Coach Bud still had to be the final sayer. You know, he had to be the final decision maker. He still had to be like, yeah, okay, I roll with that. Because he could have easily been like, hell no, this is my game plan, and we're going to stick with my game plan. But he said, okay, cool, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. So whether it came from Drew Holiday himself, whether it came from an assistant coach, or whether it came down from Coach Bud, the decision was made to adjust to Chris Paul and to take him out of his comfort zone. And that's what happened, and that's why the Phoenix Suns are not the champion. So once again, I take my hat off to the Milwaukee Bucks for doing what it takes to become the NBA champions. And while I'm here, I will also, I mean, we can change the music from the I told y'all, my bad, but while I'm here, I've seen far too many times the narrative of Milwaukee's the champion, but whether it's social media, whether it's television, whether it's radio, whatever, Milwaukee did what it took to get to the finals and to win the NBA Finals. If you think that they aren't better than the Brooklyn Nets, maybe, but guess who wasn't there? The Brooklyn Nets. If you believe that the Sixers could have beat them, maybe, but the Sixers couldn't get past the Hawks. If you think that had Trae Young not hurt himself or stepped on the foot of the referee and the Hawks could have been in the NBA Finals and possibly been the NBA champs, maybe, but guess what? Trae got hurt and Giannis was hurt. And Middleton, Holiday, they stepped up and they did what it had to take to carry their team to the NBA Finals. And the Hawks' second cast didn't do it. So, regardless of what you think, LeBron being hurt, AD being hurt, Kawhi, Kyrie, whoever you think, oh, they're only there because blah, blah, blah. Well, that ain't Milwaukee's fault. That's a Brooklyn problem. That's a Clippers problem. That's a Lakers problem. It's a Philly problem. It's a Hawks problem. That ain't a Bucks problem. It's my job to beat whoever the hell is in front of me when tip-off starts. And that's what the Milwaukee Bucks did. They beat who was in front of them when game time started. If Brooklyn wasn't there, that sounds like a Brooklyn issue. That ain't for me to discount myself because you feel like somebody else should have been, could have been, would have been. Damn that. So, don't hate on the Bucks. Congratulate the Bucks. I think they're having their parade right now as we speak. They got everybody there. I think Michael Redd is there. I think Brandon Jennings is there. I seen him a video of him spitting beer out on people like he hit a couple shots. Have fun, Milwaukee. Enjoy yourselves. Bask in it. It's your first one in like 50 years. Congratulations. Congratulations to Giannis. Giannis played like he deserved the finals MVP. Masterful performance in the game six, where he basically carried the team to a victory. That was probably one of the most memorable NBA Finals performances ever, up there with Michael Jordan. I'm talking about the one where he pushed your boy Brian Russell, hit the shot, left it hanging up. I think he scored 45 that game. But Giannis is up there with it. Now, I don't know if they'll run off and be a dynasty like the Bulls, but it doesn't matter. You've etched yourself in history. And later on, we'll get to talking about the legacies of a Giannis Antetokounmpo, the legacies of a Chris Paul, the legacies of some of these younger guys, because this is what is determining your road to the Hall of Fame. This is what is determining how legendary you become in the game of basketball. But again, congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks on the NBA championship. And please, 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 James Brown, please, please, everybody stop with the power rankings. Stop talking about the go-to team for next season, who's the team to watch, all of those things. It is far too early to be discussing next season. This season just ended yesterday. Damn near. It was 2 days ago because today's Thursday. But you get my point. The season just ended and you want to talk about where, who is the team to look out for, who's the favorite, the rankings, all of this stuff is far too early. Chill. And I think you guys are doing that because it's slick hating on Milwaukee. Nobody thought Milwaukee would be the champion. People thought Milwaukee were contenders, but they didn't have Milwaukee up there with Philly. They didn't have Milwaukee up there with Brooklyn. They thought that they were probably the third best team in the East and that they would not be in the Eastern Conference Finals, let alone in the NBA Finals. So you're not going to just sweep Milwaukee's championship up under the rug. Let them enjoy themselves without you ruining it, talking about next year. And you can't even look ahead to next year because the way the offseason is so set up in the NBA. The way the offseason is set up, everybody could be different next year. We haven't had a draft. And you know sometimes what happens during the draft, teams make trades, there's a player somebody wants, so teams are going to start to look different. We haven't had free agency yet. So people are going to sign to other places. People are going to move to other places, and that is going to shift the dynamic in the East as well as in the West. And we don't know what those teams are going to look like. So we can't start talking about who's the favorite and who is ranked where when we don't know what the whole roster looks like. So chill out on next year. By the way, the NBA draft is next Thursday. It's on the 29th. Hopefully I can have my guy Deshaun Tate come in and talk about some of these guys and we'll chop it up and we'll go and we'll talk about who should be drafted where, what the expectations are of some of the best players. We talked about it before, but we'll run it back. And I'll bring that to you next Thursday as a guide to the NBA draft, so that you'll be knowledgeable and you can talk to your people and you can tell them what you think about some of the prospects. But once again, congratulations, Milwaukee Bucks, your NBA champion. Congratulations to Giannis Antetokounmpo, Finals MVP, two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. I think one time Defensive Player of the Year. But yeah, congratulations. Enjoy yourselves. No one can take this moment from you.
Commissioner Gordon.
All right, real quick, I told you that we were going to touch on the NHL. I know. My audience isn't typically an NHL audience. So we'll touch on it real fast, like I said. The Nashville Predators. Their prospect, Luke Prokop, on Monday became the first active player in the NHL to come out as being gay. Yes, the 19-year-old player came out in an Instagram post in which he basically just said, man, he was tired of pretending. And I talked about that earlier. Like, I talked about how Carl Nassib of the NFL basically said something similar. Like, you know, it has come a time where I just have to be me. And that's key for these young players. Like, some of these guys, it's so mentally straining that they don't perform, and they don't perform well at that level because of the stress of them not being able to be themselves. And I think he said something about, like, he was on a dating app and he wound up deleting the dating app for, you know, a fourth or fifth time because, you know, he had to put up this pretense of being something that he's not. And I'll read you his Instagram post right quick. But basically, he was just saying, you know, he's gotten support from the Nashville Predators. He's gotten support. He came out to the GM first, and he gave him, you know, a resounding, you know, support. And he basically, this was his statement. Hi, everyone. While the past year and a half has been crazy, it has also given me the chance to find my true self. I am no longer scared to hide who I am. Today, I am proud to publicly tell everyone that I am gay. It has been quite the journey to get to this point in my life, but I could not be happier with my decision to come out. From a young age, I have dreamed of being an NHL player, and I believe that living my authentic life will allow me to bring my whole self to the rink and improve my chances of fulfilling my dreams. I wouldn't be able to do this without my amazing family, friends, and agents who have known about this, about me, and met me with love and support every step of the way. I hope that in sharing who I am, I can help other people see that gay people are welcome in the hockey community as we work to make sure that hockey truly is for everyone. I may be new to the community, but I'm eager to learn about the strong and resilient people who came before me and paved the way so that I could be more comfortable today. This is just the beginning of my journey, and I am excited to see where it takes me, both in hockey and in life. Thank you. And that's just what it is. Like, it goes back to a conversation that we've been having for a couple weeks now. Like, if you believe honestly that all of these guys, your favorite heroes, or all of these guys for your favorite team, no matter whether it's the NHL, the NFL, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, MLB, it doesn't matter who it is. If you honestly believe that there's a group full of thousands, hundreds, whatever, of grown men, and you believe that none of them are gay, you need to wake up and step inside of reality. Because this has been going on probably since forever. It's just that it hasn't been acceptable to say, this is my lifestyle. So a lot of these athletes have had to hide themselves. and they should not be forced to hide themselves. So, I say that. We'll see how the NHL reacts. I said the same thing about the NFL with Carl Nassib. Excuse me. I said the same thing about the NFL. We'll see how they react. Because actions tell you everything. They can come out. They can give you all the support in terms of media and coverage. PR is a mother. You know what I'm saying? PR, we can't visibly say that we don't like it. But we can show that we don't support it in other ways. So keep your eye on that. Like, I know you guys don't really watch the NHL, but as these stories pop up, I'll keep my eye on it and I'll bring it to you as I see it. Also, in the NHL, the NHL has had and it has an expansion team, the Seattle Kraken. The Seattle Kraken is out now, and they had an expansion draft yesterday. They also had a jersey reveal, and I suggest you just go check it out. They did a dope presentation on how they were drafting their players. It's Seattle, so they had everything from Gary Payton and Sean Kemp out there calling out draft picks. They had guys catching fish, pulling a draft pick out of the fish. You know, it's Seattle. Seattle's always a class city, and many people are still advocating for Seattle to get a basketball team back. I think the NBA is going to expand, that Seattle is going to be one of those first places that we'll see with another team. But congratulations to Seattle on getting the Kraken, and we'll see how they get it cracking in the NHL.
Commissioner Gordon.
So the Olympics have started, and it's crazy because we talked about a little while ago the number of COVID cases that has spiked in Japan and also here in the United States. COVID numbers are going up, and what we're seeing is a lot of the athletes had to pull out of the Olympics. We talked about Bradley Beal having to pull out of the Olympics because of COVID. Here affected by the Olympics was none other than Coco Gauff. Coco Gauff, I believe, had to come out because of the Olympics. I mean, because of COVID. Yep, she contracted COVID and she withdrew. She announced it on Sunday. So there are athletes that it's happening to, and it's not just the United States. It's all over. I saw an article where the South African coach was talking about how his team was being kind of ridiculed or whatever because of how he had a couple players contract COVID and they had to kind of sit out, and then they came back and they had to isolate those players, and they played their game against they played their game, I can't remember if it was against like England, but basically no, it was against Japan. Matter of fact, it was against Japan. They played their game against Japan, and the coach was saluting Japan because they were still interacting. You know what I'm saying? Like, they, after the game, they pound, you know, gave each other a pound, elbow, shook hands, high fives, all that stuff. And it wasn't like, oh, we scared to touch y'all, or we scared to be around y'all. But these COVID numbers and these COVID cases are going to be something that you need to keep an eye on when and if you're watching the Olympics. Are you watching? Are you waiting for Simone Biles to show up and show out? Are you waiting for, you know, the Team USA, the basketball team, to start to put things together? You know, you should be checking out the Olympics. It's something to watch. It's something to take pride in, take ownership in, and just, you know, occupy your time. But COVID cases are something to keep an eye on as we proceed throughout the Olympic Games.
Commissioner Gordon.
Also, while we're talking about the Olympics and COVID, the COVID rules in the Olympics came into question just because, you know, it's limiting and it's restricting who can come, who can be around the athletes. And so a lot of the moms that are participating in the Olympics, you know, you have women that are participating and their mothers. So a lot of the moms that are participating in the Olympics are calling into question some of these rules because some of them have small children. And some of these women with small children are still breastfeeding. And so their child still needing to be nurtured or still just needing to be under the care of their mother. The Olympic Committee has told them, due to the rules, due to the COVID restrictions, that child cannot come to Tokyo with you. And so it's putting women in a jacked up position to where you're having to choose whether you're going to be with your family or you're going to pursue your lifelong dream of being in the Olympics. And so it's coming into question, like, should that be changed? Should that be eased up? Should the rule ease up? And I don't know how the Olympic Committee will change their rules. Like, typically, you know, we have some of these committees that are flexible and they'll say, oh, we didn't think about that, but we understand, and they'll change. I don't know if the Olympic Committee is that flexible. I don't know if the Olympics being held in Japan would stiffen, you know, would stiffen the chances of the rule being changed. Like, would it lessen the chances of the rule being changed if they were, because in Japan, and we know how the Japanese government is, or would it be different if it were in the United States or if it were in England? Would it be different? Would they change the rule? I don't know. But once again, that's something interesting just to keep an eye on, to see how many of these people, how many of these athletes have to decide family or dream in terms of how the Olympics is shaped up and the rules are determined. So it's just something to keep an eye on, something I want you to pay attention to, and we'll keep an eye on it moving forward. I hope I don't have to revisit it, but it may be an issue with some of the players, and we'll see how it goes.
Commissioner Gordon.
So some of the biggest news that took place yesterday or last night came down. Like I said, it's all these media days. You got ACC Media Day around the, right? I think we either just had it or, no, yeah, we just had it. And we had ACC Media Day. We had SEC Media Day that is going on, is wrapping up right now. And with all of this stuff, you have a lot of the stuff that is kind of clickbait. You know, you get a lot of stories here and there. You know, you had one of the funniest stories that I think Coach Kirby. Excuse me, something was in my throat. I gotta cut that. But yeah, Coach Kirby Smart from UGA was talking about how Quavo, being a big UGA fan, called him up to say that his players should not be thirsty, I think was the lingo that that Coach Smart used in terms of what he said. Quavo said they shouldn't be thirsty when it comes to this name, image, and likeness stuff, and to be smart about it and educate themselves on all types of contracts. And that was a cool story. You know, that came out, and I thought that was kind of dope for, you know, Kirby Smart to come out and coach and say, you know, what's going on kind of behind the scenes and how they are embracing the name, image, and likeness rules. Also, what came out was the fact that, I don't know how this broke, but it came out that Texas and Oklahoma had been eyeing a move to the SEC. Yeah, like they were interested in moving over to the SEC. And it got me to thinking, because for me, if, and I'm sure for you, if you keep up with college sports, you'll know that the Big 12 is primarily Texas and Oklahoma. Everybody else is just benefiting off those two schools. Texas is a huge moneymaker for the Big 12, to the point where many of those schools have to curb what they do and bow down to Texas. If Texas wants to make this move and Oklahoma State wants to make that move, Texas Tech wants to make that move, and Baylor wants to make that move, but Texas wants to make this move, We're going to do what Texas do. Because Texas is the money. Texas, I think they still have the Longhorn Network. They had their own, or still have their own network. I don't watch it, so you have to forgive me if I don't know that it's still on or not. But even despite their record, despite what you think, you're like, oh man, Texas football is trash, it don't mean nothing. But it's still the biggest thing going out in Texas. To the point where Oklahoma has been winning the Big 12, but they're still number two. They're still little brother. But this move, the thought of this move made me kind of question a couple things. Because the Big 12 is primarily Texas and Oklahoma, does this equal defeat for Texas? Because Texas has basically said that it could carry the Big 12 on its back. When Texas A&M was leaving, when Missouri was leaving, when franchises were leaving, Texas was like, ah, doesn't matter, we got this. When Oklahoma State, all these other, I think there were other franchises that were talking about going to like the ACC and the Pac-12, Texas was like, it doesn't matter, we're still here, this is us. But now that it comes out that Texas is considering moving to the SEC, and Texas is, and they're bringing Oklahoma with them, is that like them saying, well, we really could not carry the entire conference? We need for these teams, for these schools to carry their weight also. And because, yes, Baylor is winning championships in basketball, Baylor's doing great things in women's basketball, they're playing good football, but we need them to do more. They're not Alabama, they're not Georgia, they're not Florida, they're not LSU. We need to do more. So if we can go join them, we can get more money, we can get more eyes, and we can get more of the things that we feel like we deserve. But would that be admitting defeat? Because nobody will say we were wrong. We just have to see it. You know what I'm saying? The proof would be the writing on the wall. Also, the next question I had was, would this be the beginning of the Super Conference and possibly a breakaway from the NCAAs and their archaic rules? Could this possibly be? Like, I had been hearing guys on national television, guys on national radio, who were basically trumpeting the fact that the NCAA is dead. That a lot of these guys are going to come, a lot of these schools, a lot of these athletic directors, a lot of these program directors were going to come out, and they were going to join forces, and they were going to get together to step away from the NCAA because they don't see the value in what the NCAA brings. And we've talked about this a long time ago. They don't see the value in what the NCAA brings. The only thing the NCAA does is get a lot of guys paid who you don't understand why the hell they're getting paid. So they can get venues. We can get venues. So they put together games. We put together games all the damn time. But what the NCAA does, it puts more restrictions on players. It puts more restrictions on coaches. It puts more restrictions on programs. And it's for the benefit of the NCAA, not for the benefit of the program, not for the benefit of the athlete. So a lot of times, if you look around and here we are and we can get a big power conference to where it's Texas, it's Oklahoma, it's Alabama, it's Georgia, it's Florida, it's LSU, it's Tennessee, it's all these, it's Texas A&M, it's all these conferences, it's all these programs, excuse me, in one big conference, we can break away and we can not call ourselves the NCAA, and we can make rules that are beneficial to us as programs. We can make rules that are beneficial to us as coaches. We can make rules who are beneficial to the players. And we can try to take control and step ahead of this name, image, and likeness contract, because we know that the NCAA is not a proactive entity. It's a reactive entity. Meaning that, knowing that this was coming down the line, when the date dropped and the thing happened to say that the NCAA is going to allow for name, image, and likeness, there should have been more in place for the athlete. There should be more knowledge in place for the coach. So coach, athlete, athletic director, parents all should understand this thing, as opposed to say, okay, you can go get you a couple dollars now. And now we all have to kind of figure it out. What's within the rules? What's not within the rules? Can I sign to an agent? Can I not sign to an agent? If I do sign to an agent, I have to have it worded that it's only for name, image, and likeness. You know, I have to word it a certain type of way. So we're all figuring it out. And if we all look around, if we're all figuring it out, what in the hell do we need you for? You should have had it figured out, and you should be directing us one direction or the other, but you're not. You're following along with us. You're on the trail with us. You're not leading us. We're leading you, and then you respond. It's like a team of people who are making decisions, and then you have this group who's making the decision, and then you have this one guy like, I don't think we should do that. Who's second guessing every turn? Who's telling you why it was wrong that we made this left turn instead of saying we should make a right turn before we get to the fork in the road? So we don't need the backseat driver. We can drop him off at the corner and we can do this thing on our own. And that may be what's happening. I don't know. It's just a question of mine. Could this be the beginning of that? Also, if this happens, if Texas and Oklahoma does join the SEC, how in the hell does that shape up? Keeping in mind that we're still in the NCAA. I know I talked about them breaking away, but that was years down the line. Pipe dream, maybe. hasn't happened yet. Fantasy in terms of reality. But if this happens and we're still in reality and we're still connected to the NCAA, how the hell does that impact the National College Football Championship? Huh? How the hell does that impact? Right now it's at 4. You have a 4-team playoff. Right? And you say you take the top 4 teams and it's by ranking or whatever. But we know it's not always by ranking, because we got teams that get in that are not always the highest ranked teams. It's kind of politics / ranking, because we have a committee. You know, we have we throw out a couple extra games, bend the rules here or there. Last year was supposed to be, you're supposed to play so many games. And Ohio State hadn't exceeded those game limits. But hey, we got to get Ohio State in here. So we're going to bend these rules a little bit. Get Ohio State in. Get Notre Dame in. You know, so how does that impact that though? And then it also is going to impact it, because what happens is, if this move for Texas and Oklahoma to be in the SEC is made, and the NCAA has been talking about and moving forward with the tournament and expanding to 12, what's going to happen when somebody looks up and says 6 of the 12 teams are all out the damn SEC? Right? Is that fair to the Pac-12? Is that fair to the Big Ten? Is that fair to the ACC? Where you talk about every year you could have LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma. That's 7 teams. You could have any rotation of those in the final 12 or whatever the tournament, the college football national championship tournament. You could have 6-7 teams there. People are already looking at the SEC like it's stacked for them to win every year. This would be no different. What would happen? Another question that I had with this would be, what happens to the rest of the conference? Like, Texas and Oklahoma step away. What happens to the Big 12? Big 12 already ain't 12 teams no more. But what happens to the rest of the conference? What happens to a Baylor? Where do they go? Do they try to stay and form their own smaller conference? What happens to Oklahoma State? Texas Tech? West Virginia just joined not too long ago. What happens to them? Do they try to make their way back to the ACC? Iowa State, TCU, K-State. What happens to these teams? Do they become free agents? Because they're not going to, they don't have a big enough market. They don't have a big enough demand. Yes, they're in Texas. Yes, they're in Oklahoma. Yes, they're in Kansas. Yes, they're in Iowa. Yes, they're in West Virginia. Yes, they're in markets to where you have people that are watching them, but they're not big enough programs to where they're going to generate enough money to sustain an entire conference. So, assuming that if Texas and Oklahoma breaks away, what's going to have to happen is you're going to have to dissolve the Big 12, and all of those programs are going to have to be free agents, meaning that some of them are going to go to the ACC. Like I said, West Virginia may go to the ACC. And this, keep in mind, none of the conference, since conference realignment happened, none of this is regional anymore. So you could very well have a Texas Tech join the ACC because the ACC wants that Texas money, wants those Texas eyes. You could have a TCU join the Pac-12, Iowa State in the Pac-12, or the ACC. But this would be an absolute, I wouldn't call it it would be an absolute teardown of the Big 12, because the Big 12 would be dead as we know it. I also heard just a rumor that this is happening because Texas's contract is up with the Big 12, I think in like 3 years, in 2024, I think they're up for renegotiation. So with that being said, I also heard a rumor of Texas looking to join the ACC, not as a duo, but just as a solo entity. And that made me think of another question. With Texas and Oklahoma talking about joining the SEC, are they a duo? Is this a pair deal? Buy one, get one? Is this that type? Or is it just we both happen to be looking to talk about moving, and we both happen to be talking about moving to the same neighborhood? But Texas could also opt to go independent. It's semi worked for Notre Dame for a generation now. I mean, and Notre Dame is half committed to the ACC. You know, they use the ACC when they want to get into the NCAA tournament, but they're still quote unquote independent. So once again, this is something to keep an eye on. This is something to keep your ears open to say, hey, okay, if this is going to be a move that Texas and Oklahoma is going to make, then damn it, we need to know. You know, we need to keep an eye on it and what the implications may be if it actually happens. But there's going to be a shift in the NCAA coming, and you should see it. If this doesn't tell you that, if you can't see it now, then you're blind. And I'm here to try to give you a little vision. There's going to be a shift in the NCAA, one way or the other.
Commissioner Gordon.
We're running a little long. I want to quickly say before I close this thing out, Everybody had the media day. We talked about SEC media day. We talked about ACC media day. We talked about everyone had a media day, whether SWAC had their media day. And head coach Deion Sanders kind of got into a little spat back and forth with a reporter. And people kind of lashed back on Coach Prime. And not many understood the significance of what happened. So without going too deep into it, I'll just kind of give you what happened. And in full transparency, when I read what happened, I thought, yeah, coach might be in his feelings a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, Prime, you might be in your feelings just a little bit. But then I saw a video, and the video happens to where Deion is on a Zoom call, pretty much a Zoom press conference. He had a headset on. And they're talking about, you know, pulling up reporters. He's like, pull this dude up, whatever. Pull him up. And dude greets him. What's up, Deion? Blah, blah, blah. Start asking questions. And Deion cuts him off. Stop. Boom. Don't do me like that. You wouldn't call Nick Saban Nick. So give me the same respect you give Nick Saban. If you call Nick Saban Nick, you get cussed out. You're going to call him Coach Saban. You're going to call him Coach. Call me coach. I mean, he didn't say all of the latter part, but he's basically implying that call me coach, Coach Sanders. Call me Coach Prime. Call me coach. Just coach. And then you can proceed with your question. The reporter then, you know, is kind of combative. He laughs. He says, I call Nick Saban Nick all the time. And he's saying, and Deion comes back. And like I said, he said, no, you wouldn't. If you call Nick Saban Nick, he'd cuss you out. And the reporter kind of giggles again. But what happens is he doubles down on the Deion. So the man has basically told you, I'd prefer to be called Coach or Coach Prime or Coach Sanders. I'm the head football coach of the Jackson State University football program. Call me Coach. And he kind of, and then the reporter chuckles and says, all right, yeah, whatever, Deion. And Deion kindly takes his headset off and he walks off. And people have a problem with this. One, because it's Deion Sanders, because the player, you get caught up in the player and what he's done and the ego and what you've seen from him and the gold chains and high stepping and all we know is him being this big grand presentation of a human being, that you believe that he's making it about him, kind of, but not really. He's making it about him because he's saying, I'm out here coaching for real. I'm not just out here standing on the sideline being a figurehead for Jackson State. I'm out here coaching for real. So with that, I'd ask that you give me the respect of calling me coach. I get that. I understand that. So for you to express that to a reporter, to a member of the media, and then they turn around and they say, yeah, whatever, Deion. It's like, wait a minute, that was disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? And that just doesn't happen in athletics. That happens in real life. I've had professors who I call professors such and such say, hold on, my name is Dr. such and such. I worked hard to get my doctorate degree. You will respect it. And in college, high school, wherever I may be, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, I had sense enough to understand and to be respectful to that individual and say, my bad, no disrespect, I will address you as such moving forward. But that's not what happened here. He didn't say, oh, okay, cool, that's how you'd like to be addressed. I'll respect you and I'll address you as coach moving forward. And it wasn't like Deion asked him to say some crazy stuff. He didn't want you to call him Big Brother Almighty. You know what I'm saying? He didn't ask you to call him Coaching God Deion Sanders, he didn't ask you that. He just said simply what you would want to be called in a football setting if you were the head coach of a football team. Coach. That's it. But for so long, it happens to where we as an individual, and I'll stick this in there, black men often have to show and kneel and respect and show respect and all of this for others, that when it's our time to be respected, it gets shrugged off and it's whatever. And that's the point that Deion was making. Because he's at an HBCU, it's already looked at that his school is less than, because he's not coaching at Florida State or Alabama or wherever. You look at his school as like you want to pat him on the head. He's doing a good job over there in the SWAC. No, he wants the same respect that you would give that ACC, SEC, Big Ten coach. But when he demands that respect, you belittle him again by saying, whatever, Deion. Huh? So in real life, when things happen to you in real life, like if you have a nickname that you're not over fondly proud of, that you had growing up, whether you were Stinky or something like that, that you grew up in your neighborhood and everybody knew you were Stinky because of something that happened to you when you were 4 years old and it just stuck. And now here you are in the business world with a master's degree and you're the vice president of such and such company, and somebody from the neighborhood sees you out in a business setting. You don't want them to come up to you and be like, yo, Stinky, what up? Hey, my name is whatever, and I would prefer that you address me as that. So give that man that respect. You're at a football event. He's the head coach of a football program. The least you can do if he asks you is call him coach. That's it. And that's my time, ladies and gentlemen. I greatly appreciate you tuning in. I greatly appreciate you listening to me. I thank all of my sponsors. Again, at Greenwood Whiskey. Check them out. It's Celebration Whiskey. You'll love it. You'll enjoy it. If you have not tried it yet, treat yourself. At 323_custom_apparel. Stand above the crowd. Don't be like the rest of them. Be fresher than them. 323 Custom Apparel. Make your clothing your statement. Again, I thank my engineer, my producer, Young Reese Boogie. He's doing his thing out here. Salute to him. Follow him at This Is DJ Reese Boogie on Instagram. You can also follow me on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. You can follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. I appreciate you for tuning in. As always, until next week, I'll holla.
Okay, bye.